Anyways, I am just blessed and honored that God would ask me to preach to you. And I really heard that last week was fun. What did you guys think about last week? Was it neat? You learned about Bathsheba. What was that girl thinking? I loved, I got to hear part of it. I'm going to go back today and finish the rest of it. But I was just laughing so hard in the first part of it. They were cracking me up. So I wish I could, over the tape, see the pictures they were showing you. So I think I might have them show them to me today. Did they do the whole top where it's sheer and then there's a bra? Yeah, don't do that here. Okay, that's not cute. I don't like to see your fat rolls, and I'm sure ain't nobody else like to either. Okay, so... So, if you don't know me, I'm cheesy, okay? I just say it like it is. I'm totally not. Eleanor is just so eloquent in her talking, isn't she? Okay, and then you get me. All right, so they wanted me to preach on a bad girl, the Bible. And I really was like, there's no one else better for me to talk about than who I relate with the most. And who does Pastor Jess relate with the most is the whore in the Bible. Her name is Gomer. So you say, what? If you don't know my past, listen, I was raunchy. I was a bad girl, a real bad girl. And I was into things that God did not want me to be into. I was into sin. I did the things that God told me not to do. I did them anyways. I ran after the things of this world. And this story of Gomer is literally, I feel like it's my story. And so, we are going to go through Gomer. We're going to see what God did and the process that the Lord has with her and Hosea. But really, it's a parallel. This is a parallel of Israel and God and Hosea, which is her husband, and her. And she's the prostitute, okay? So we're going to read about this story. But remember, we are Israel in this story. We are, nowadays, I believe we're almost living there again. I'm reading through this book. There's 14 chapters. Give yourself some homework. Go back home and read it. Read 14 chapters of Hosea, okay? And if you can, go online. If you don't have like a Message Bible, go online and get the Amplified or the Message and read it in those versions because it is a trip. I mean, whoo, you want to talk about God being upset? There is some anger that comes out in God. Because when we sin against God, he is not just this cuddly man upstairs that we all think he is. We sing about his love, we sing about his grace, but we never really talk about the fear of God. We never really talk about his anger and his wrath on us. For what we do, there are consequences to our sin. There are things that happen to us because of our own inabilities and our own sin nature. And God knows this, but it doesn't mean that he doesn't get mad and angry about it. And so we're going to walk through this. And so if you would turn with me to Hosea. Hosea, you say, where is Hosea? It's in the Old Testament. It's behind Daniel, okay? So if that helps you, I'll give you a second to get there. Hosea 1. Now, I'm not going to read through 14 chapters. I'm going to paraphrase the story for you, okay? But I will read the first part of chapter 1, just so that we understand. It introduces Gomer, which is quite a name, huh? I mean, like, it's not even a pretty name. You know, Esther is such a beautiful name, you know, like... And it's like Gomer. Okay, so that should just already set up the story for you in your head. All right. The word of the Lord, this is verse 1 in Hosea 1. The word of the Lord that came to Hosea, son of Beor, the days of your Uzziah, Jotham, Azza, Hezekiah, the kings of Judea, and in all the days of Jeroboam, the son of Josiah, the king of Israel. Okay, so anyways, he's working for the royalty of this time. When the Lord began to speak to Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, go take yourself a wife of harlotry. In other versions, it'll say a whore, okay? And children of harlotry. So that means that those are not his kids. Those are her kids. And for the land has committed great harlotry. So now he's paralleling really quick. He's saying, go get yourself a whore and make her your wife. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was Hosea, I'd be like, right on, God. Yeah, let's go get her. I mean, seriously, what was poor Hosea thinking? Like, why me? Why would you want me to do this for you, God? You know, I mean, really, think about this man. And you never once hear in this book that he's complaining about it. So he goes, and it says, by departing from you, Lord, verse 3. So he went and he took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim. Now, right there, that is all we know about Gomer. That is the past. That is all we know about her past. There's no other record of her past. We don't know if she was a prostitute before she was mentioned in the Bible. We don't know if she became a prostitute as they were married. There was no record of her past. This is it. This is what we have. That was she was the daughter of. Okay, so she has no, we don't know her past. all we know is who she is, right? She's going to be a whore. That's who she's representing. Now, God is paralleling Gomer with Israel. At this time, Israel was running from God. They were doing their own thing. They were making idols. They were worshiping other things. Anything to their pleasure, they were doing. There was no reverence. There was no love. There was no gratefulness. There was no heart of gratitude for the things of God. Okay? So he's paralleling Gomer with God. And Hosea is representing God. Okay? So when we read about Hosea and Gomer, think about God and Israel or God and us now. Okay? And then verse 4. Then the Lord said to him, let's go back to verse 3. So he went and he took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore a son. Now this son is his. And then the Lord said to him, call his name Jezreel, for in a little while I will avenge my bloodshed on Jezreel, the house of Jehai, and bring the end of the kingdom of the house of Israel. So God is mad. So great, now not only did you ask me to marry a whore, but you asked me then to have a son, and his name is negative. His name is Jezreel, who you're going to like wipe out and bring bloodshed to. Okay? Verse 5. It shall come to pass that in that day, I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. In verse 6. And she conceived again. So now she has a second son. She bore a daughter. Then God said to him, call her name Lo-Ruhamah. For I will no longer have mercy on the house of Israel. So her name means no mercy. Great, that's wonderful. I just love this, God. So, but I will utterly take them away. Verse 7, yet I will have mercy on the house of Judea, will save them by the Lord and their God, and they will not save them by a bow, nor by a sword in battle, nor by horses or horsemen. Verse 8, now when she weaned Lo-Ruhamah, she conceived and bore a son. Okay, this is her third child. Then God said, call his name Lo-Ami, for you are not my people, and I will not be your God. Yeah. So what's going on here? Okay? Now, there's other versions of this that say that Lo-Ami means you're nobody. So the name represents nobody. So this poor child was born to the world, and it was meant to be a nobody. Now let's stop for a second. Here we go. We got Hosea, God, who loves Gomer and is obedient and goes after Gomer, right? And she has his children. She has one child. And then there's other versions that say that Gomer, through their relationship, ran away from Hosea many, many times. And he would have to go get her and bring her back. And that's a good man. So he would go after her. He'd bring her back. So they're saying in some of the commentaries, it was interesting. They were saying, you don't know the other kids. The first one we know is his. But the second one, we don't know if those were illegitimate children. But they're all illegitimate children because they were born to her. Her bloodline was in them, and she was a whore. She was not of God, okay? So, I mean, there is some major disconnect from the kingdom of God at this point. There is a major disconnect going on here. And the Lord is saying, I am representing your life with me and Israel, okay? So then God goes down, and he just talks about how the people of Israel were unfaithful. Now, you want to talk about the wrath of God. As you begin to read through this story, he then gets off of Gomer and Hosea, and he begins to talk about Israel. And the things and the anger, have you ever been upset and you just need to get it all out? You just vent it all out. Just let it out, let it flow. Man, I think God was letting it flow in some of these chapters. I was like reading it like this. Oh my gosh, they were in trouble. They are, oh wow, he's mad. He is mad. And the wrath of God was coming down on him, and that was his plan. He was mad. He was going to wipe Israel out. How dare you treat me like this after everything I did for you? I mean, the Lord was angry, and rightfully so, after everything he had done for them. So what we're going to get into is, because this is such a parallel and it's such a story, I mean, I love how God uses the wicked and the wrong to tell a story, don't you? Because I was wicked and I was wrong, but God came and he rescued me. And I don't know about you, but you may be that person going, listen, I got a screwed up past too, and there are things that have happened to me, and I live in a world, Pastor Jess, that you don't even want to know about. Listen, nothing is too big for our God, because this story is not even over yet. There is redemption in this story, so we're going to walk through this. So now we know who they are. We've been introduced to who they are, right? So we're going to go into it. It's a parallel, remember, of God and Israel, Hosea and Gomer. And what can we learn or unlearn from Gomer? Gomer had a husband who loved her. He went after her. He was obedient to the things of God. And he provided for her, he took care of her, and he always went after her. She would run away from him because she went back to her old ways, and he would take her from her old ways and bring her home and bring her back to safety. And so what we can learn from Gomer, number one, if you're writing things down, we need to choose God and not our old ways. It is so easy for us to go back to those things that are familiar in our lives. But so many times, what you do not, have you ever heard of something called a familiar spirit? You say, I don't understand what that is. Well, listen, it's something in our lives that we are very comfortable with, but is not of God. And so we are so used to living with whatever it is. Maybe it is, you know, a sin nature. Maybe you secretly have some kind of sin that you go back to that nobody really knows about. But listen, God knows. He sees all. He knows all. He knows where your heart is. He knows what's going on. And she would go back to the old way. She would go back to prostitution, even though she had the husband and the children, and he would feed her. He provided her with home and clothing and everything this woman could have wanted, especially back then. That was a blessing. And she went back to the ways of the world. How many times do we as a Christian body go back to the things of the world? Yet we've tasted it and we've seen what is good, but yet we still go back. And it makes me wonder, okay, God, so when I go back, how does that make you feel? What does that make you do? Where does that put you in? And you know, as you read through the chapters, you realize God is not so happy about us reneging on our relationship with him. And so here he is, and he says, well, I love you. I'm going to go back after you. I'm going to go get you. But yet she would go back, and she would go back, and she would go back. And how many times do we go back and go back and go back to our old natures? Maybe something happens, and instead of getting ourselves back in faith and getting and hitting our knees, we're going and we're cussing about it, and we're yelling about it. We're angry about it. We're calling our friends about it. We're cussing our husband out about it. We're chewing out the mailman for not doing something right. You're just being drama. And you're going, that's not really godly. If somebody saw you, would they be knowing there's a woman of God? No. And that doesn't look like the picture of Jesus Christ, does it? And so you say, okay, well, I don't really do that, but, you know, I've got some other things going on, you know. I'm dealing with temptation. There's a homosexual spirit in my life, and I'm trying to stay away from it, but I go back to it every once in a while. I tease myself with it. Well, listen, if the word says that that is not how God created us, and that is not what God has for us, then you know what? You have to fight against the tempter. The tempter is going to come in, and he's going to tempt us to do the things and go after those things, and it usually is in flesh mode. Okay? And Gomer's sin was upon her body. She was a prostitute. She had sex with many men. This is what she did. And when we operate in the flesh instead of operating in the Spirit of God, then we are putting ourselves and subjecting ourselves under a nature and a rule that you will not be able to stand in. Because when you come out from under the covering of God, it usually is when we walk in flesh. And so God is saying to us, quit running back to prostitution. Quit running back to having sex outside of marriage. Maybe you got that boyfriend, you just can't stay away from him. Listen, you better learn how to stay away from him. You better learn to cut that off. You better learn, because sex outside of marriage is a sin against God. It's a sin against your own body. And so here's Gomer, and she's going back to prostitution. And he says, Israel's so dumb. They keep going back to prostitution. They keep going back to Baal. They keep going back to gods. They keep going back to everything that's not me. Why? Why? I've done everything for them. And here they are. They go back, and now he's getting mad. Have you ever had a child that does that? Maybe you have some teenagers in this room, and you're like, what? I'm going to kill them. You know, like, I don't know, how many times can I talk to them? How many times can I explain to them what's ahead of them? How many times can I lay the path of righteousness for them, but they're still not walking down that path? Listen, I believe that's how God feels about us. How many times, guys, how many times, Gomer, did you have to go back? How many times do you have to go back to your old ways? And the Lord is speaking to us, and he's saying, Israel, knock it off, because I'm getting mad. He's getting mad. Now you say, oh, but he's a just God. He's a God of mercy and love. Oh, yeah, but read the middle chapters of Hosea. Just read them. And you will be trembling in your boots. So just get ready. Because he's no joke. He's a God, but he has feelings. And he knows. And he loves you. And he's jealous over us. And he doesn't want us in sin. He wants us in the love of God. So here's Gomer running back to sin again. And this is what God tells Hosea. Now, I cannot wait to meet Hosea. Because he is a good man. So Hosea in verse 3. Okay, we're going to go to chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. Then the Lord said to me, okay, this is Hosea speaking. Go again, love a woman who is loved by another lover and committing adultery. Wait, what? So you are telling me what she's doing right now, and you want me to go love her? I mean, what kind of man does it take to put aside everything and to go get her? What kind of God does it take to put aside the pain and the hurt that we put on him and to come and get us again? And to come and get us again? And to come and get us again? This is the same thing. Just like the love of the Lord for the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love the raisin cakes of the pagans. So I brought her for myself 15 shekels of silver and 1.5 homers of barley. Now listen, 1.5 homers is half the price of a slave. Slaves were very expensive back then in these times. And he brought half of a homer to pay for her. So you can tell he paid a lot of money to get his own wife back, okay? And I say to her, you shall stay with me many days. You shall not play a harlot, nor shall you have a man. So too will I be towards you. So not only is he saying, you're coming home with me. You're not going to be a whore any longer. You're not going to do your prostitution thing. You're going to be with me, and I'm going to love you. You're going to be with your husband. I mean, come on. That's a redeeming love. That's a love that I just don't even know how to wrap my mind around. Because I think that I would still be so bitter and so angry. So what can we learn from Hosea? We can learn that there is a love that we cannot wrap our mind around. So here's Gomer, a girl not even asking for help. A girl running from her husband. A girl running from what's good and pure and holy and just. And here's us, Israel. And here's us nowadays, guys, running from the things of God. Running from what is good. Running from what God is saying, here, I have this for you. Why don't you want it? But no, we run after the pagan gods. We run after the things of this world. We run after what's trendy. We run after what's cool. We run after what our friends are doing. Oh, we want to go to the clubs. Oh, but I'm going to go to church on Sunday. Oh, we run after, hey, it's okay if I have a couple drinks with my friends. And then I don't really know what happened last night. And, you know, you just let your guard down for a second. You get yourself in some trouble. And we as women of God need to put our guard back on, because I am not going to become Gomer ever again. And I don't know about you, but we are not called to be Gomers. God is calling us from our past and saying, quit walking in the past and start walking in the future. Because if we can learn a lesson from Gomer, let's stop going back to our old ways. In Proverbs 26:11 in the New Living Translation, it says, as a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool repeats his foolishness. I don't know about you, but I was that person. We are those people. I remember coming to the altar when I was trying to get right with the Lord after all of my sin. And every week I'd had to come back up to the altar. And every week I'd have to, okay, God, please forgive me, please forgive me. And you know, it was really neat because God's mercy and grace began to wash those things and strip them off of me. And after a while, I didn't have to go up to the altar anymore. And after a while, those things just weren't a temptation anymore. So if you are walking through that process of becoming healed, don't be discouraged. You just keep coming to the throne of God. That's what he wants us to do. He is saying, please, just keep turning from those things that cause you temptation and keep running towards me. Because if you return to your vomit as a dog does, you are a foolish person. And so have you ever seen your dog do that? I mean, I have a dog. And, you know, he likes to sniff everyone's poop and vomit. And I'm just like, don't even come near me if you do. Like, I am so grossed out by that. And so, you know, the Lord does tend to bring up really nasty things for us to get a mental picture of our sin. He relates our sin with the worst things. So far, we have learned that our sin is like a whore-like prostitute way, and that our sin is like dog vomit. Okay, so let's not go back to our sin. Let's run towards the things of God. And so Gomer has taught us, do not live life according to the past, but focus on our future in Christ. Okay, number two. Now, this was hard for Gomer. Number two, accept God's redeeming love. You know, here she was. She was a woman, and she had a husband that kept going and getting her and bringing her back. And she obviously couldn't accept the goodness because she probably felt unworthy. I mean, I try to put myself in a position, and I remember how I felt when I was sinning and I was doing wrong things. I felt so unworthy. I felt like, God, I'm just this dirty mess. And God, how are you going to fix me? I'm a mess, and I'm dirty, and how can you wash me? Oh, but God does. He says, if you just come, let me wash you. If you just come, let me cleanse you. And then it says in 1 John 4:10, this is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. You see, it's not that we love God, but that he loved us. That's the real miracle in this. This is a redeeming love, a love that we are not worthy of. I love that when we screw up, he still loves us. So let's go back to Hosea and Gomer. Hosea 3:1 in the Message, I'm going to read this to you. This is what God is telling him. God ordered me to start all over again. Love your wife again, your wife who is in bed with her latest boyfriend, your cheating wife. Love her the way that I, God, love the Israelite people, even as they flirt and they party with every god that take their fancy. Listen, God loves us even when we're a mess. Isn't that comforting? God loves us even when we're going through hard times. I picture God in heaven looking down at Gomer and going, she needs Hosea. Like, as much as Hosea's probably like, what in the world are you doing to me, God? He's going, I love Gomer enough to send my good man to her. I love Gomer enough to bring her the best, even though she doesn't deserve the best. Because I love her so much that I want to show her a new and a real love, not a fake and a generic, partial, part-time love that for maybe a moment after somebody paid her, they had some sex, which isn't love, and it's all twisted and messed up. No, I'm going to show her what real love is, an intimacy with me, a devotion to me, an intimate life serving me and I her. And God was giving Gomer a picture of goodness. He was trying to introduce this love that she had no concept how to wrap her mind around. Maybe some of you in here have been that person. You're going, I never really had parents that loved me. I never really had a husband that really cared for me. I've never really known how to care for my kids. I just kind of do life. I just kind of am myself. I've just kind of walked through this day by day and tried to figure it out as I go. Listen, you are not in this room today to just be here to exist. You are in this room today that no matter what and who has been in your past, you have a new future in Christ, and he loves you more than you will ever know, and he cherishes you, and he knows you. He knows every hair on your head. He knew you before you were in your mother's womb. He knew who would love you and who wouldn't love you, but all he cares about is that you know that he loves you and that he went to the cross for you and that you may feel lonely, but you are not alone because he's with you. You are not alone because he's your comforter. He's your healer. He's your protector. Just as he told Hosea to go and get her, Hosea was a man, and he went out and he got his woman back, and he brought her to safety, and he provided for her in that time. That's what God does for us. He goes and he rescues us out of hell, and he brings us to his bosom, and he holds us and he protects us. And when the enemy comes at us, he blocks the enemy's attacks. But until we stay close to him, that's when we're protected. Gomer kept running away from Hosea. So who knows what was going on in her world when she kept running away. Israel kept running away from God and things would happen to them. And God's going, ugh! And so listen, you have a choice to stay connected to a redeeming love, or you have a choice to run away again. And stop running away. Stop running away, God is saying. Stop running away. You're trying to protect your heart, but you don't have to protect your heart from God. God loves your heart. He knows your heart. He made your heart. And he knows what's in it, and he's ready to heal it. He's ready to restore it. He's ready to turn it around for him and for his purposes and for his ways. This is a redeeming love that we cannot understand or fathom. But if we accept it, that's all he's asking, is that we accept it. And then he will carry us the rest of the way. Number 3, what we can learn or unlearn from Gomer. Gomer never counted her blessings. We need to count our blessings. If she would have counted her blessings, she would have received what was hers already. You see, God set her up, didn't he? He didn't just give her anyone. He gave her Hosea. He was a man that worked for royalty. He was a man that was in with the inn. He was a man that could provide. He was a man after God's own heart. I mean, who does that? God tells him to do something. He says, sure, I'll go marry a whore. You know, you didn't hear him complain. I can't wait to get to heaven and hear the full story, you know. I love how God just kind of gives pieces of stories. I'm like, I'm going to sit down at your feet, and you're going to have to explain every detail of the story to me because I'm a girl and I want to know. I asked Pastor Dan, what do you think? He's like, oh, I don't know. You know, I mean, men just don't want details, but girls, we need details. So, excuse me. So I'm going to get to heaven. I'm going to ask God, I want the detail of this story. I want to know what happened. And so here's Gomer. And she has all these blessings in front of her. And she has this wonderful man of God. Here's Israel, who has everything in front of them, who has a God who has provided for them, a God that has taken them out of Egypt, a God who has given them everything, and yet they are now turning from God again, making their own gods, doing their own things, running after other ways. And God is going, seriously, do you not see what you have? Do you not see what you have? Hosea 2, 7 and 8. This is now a part of the story where Gomer is left Hosea, and she is doing her own thing. I mean, and you can read it for yourself later. There's so much to read. But this is where she comes to in her point of realizing that she has nothing and that it's all screwed up what she does have and what she's ran away from. In Hosea 2, 7 and 8, she will chase her lovers but not overtake them. Yes, she will seek them, but she will not find them. Then she will say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then it will be better for me now. For did she not know that I gave her grain and new wine and oil and multiplied her silver and her gold, which were prepared for Baal? Baal was another word for husband or master. Now listen, here she was. He's saying, I provided her with wine and grain and oil and multiplied her with silver and gold. And finally she says to herself, oh, I think I'll go back to my husband. Oh, wait, I think a little bell went off in her head like, this is not good. So when we have tasted good, it is good that we have, because then we have something to reference the bad against. And so we can stop ourselves and go, do I really want this or do I want that? And is there blessing in this or is there blessing in that? And anything that is of God, there's blessing in. Anything that is not of God, there is no blessings in. There's no blessings in the things that are not of God. You will lead yourself down a road of destruction and a path of hurt. And you say, well, I'm sick of hurting, Pastor Jess. Well, then you know what? You need to turn yourself around and you need to go down the road of blessing. You need to seek God. We need to find out what God has for us. Don't miss what God has prepared for you. God has laid out a table for us. He knows exactly what's in your heart. He knows your dreams. He knows your visions. He knows what's inside of you because he put it in you. He knows what giftings you have because he gave them to you. He knows how wonderful you are because he made you. He knows how precious you are in his sight. You say, I don't feel precious. I don't feel pretty. It doesn't matter what you feel. That's what this is about. This is not about what we feel. This is about what we are. Just because we feel a certain way doesn't mean that that's how it is. And God is saying, I don't care what you feel like. This is who you are. So let me repaint your picture, Gomer. Let me give you a husband that can give you a picture of who I really made you to be. And let me give you, daughter of God at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center, a picture of who I've called you to be. You didn't just grow up here for no reason. You didn't just be who you are for no reason. You didn't have the background that you had with the parents that you had and the husbands and the abusers and all the things that we all have in this room. This room, I love this church because this room is full of exes, right? We are ex of everything. And you know, we are loved by a redeeming God, a God that saw something bigger in us, a God that says that I know what's inside of you, so you need to allow me to pull it out of you. And count your blessings, daughter. Count your blessings. Stop going back to your past. Stop looking at your old ways. Count what it is that you've got now. Do you have breath every day? Yes. Do you have hope in me? Yes, you do. Do you have a God that's listening all the time, bending down in heaven, going, what is it, daughter, that you need? You just don't ask. You just need to talk to me about it and I'll take care of it. How about that? You know, when you are hurting, you don't have to be alone. When you are desperate, you don't have to be desperate anymore because you have the one that provides everything, one that we are in covenant with, one that has prepared and laid a way for us and already laid it out. He went to the cross for us. He died. His blood was shed just for you. And so for us to just sit back and not count our blessings and forget about the love that he's pouring out, shame on us. Shame on us. Shame on Israel. If you go through this, you will read and the fear of God will come upon you because he is mad. He is really mad. He is really angry with them. And sometimes I wonder if God's very angry with us. Very angry with us for allowing things to cross borders that should have never crossed borders. For the church of God to allow things to happen in the church of God and in your lives that should never have happened. You guys have to start guarding your hearts. You have to start guarding your households. You have to start guarding your minds against the things that are coming at us because this world wants nothing to do with God. And you're going to have to start taking a stand. You're going to have to start building borders around your families and building borders and drawing a line in the sand and I'm serving God and this is how it is. Because I know my blessings are on this side. They're not on that side of the line. My blessings are here. And I don't know about you, but it is not worth living without God. I would rather die. If someone put a gun to my head and asked me to renounce God, no way. Just go ahead and kill me. To die is gain. And so we are here, but we have to be here for now. And listen, and while we're here, live it to the fullest. Be blessed. count your blessings. Be a joy in people's lives instead of a burden. Maybe you're one of those people that are high maintenance people. You were just one of those people where you're like, man, have you ever heard of a high maintenance friend? You're like, no. Well, you're probably that friend. A high maintenance friend is someone who always has drama. And it sometimes, for people that don't have as much drama as you, they're a little like, I'm tired. Like, I love them, but seriously, I can't keep doing this every day, you know? And it's nothing against you, but listen, that's when you got to say to your friend who's high maintenance, or to yourself, listen, enough. Let's count my blessings. Let's look at what's good. Let's draw the line in the sand and say, I'm no longer going to go there. I'm going to believe God. Because if he did it for Gomer and rescued her, and if he did it for Israel and pulled them out of hell, then you know what? I can do this because he's done it for me too. And who am I to go against what God has given me? And so listen, let's not be high maintenance girls. Let's be low maintenance girls that just love the kingdom of God and love each other and love our families because we know a redeeming love, and his name is Jesus. And he loved us so much, and he's blessed us, and he's given us everything we need to have in our hands. And he knows who we are. He knows what your desires are. And so let's just learn from them. Do not miss what God has prepared for us. Let's keep our blessings in front of us. Let's count it out all joy when we go through various trials. You say, how do you do that? How do I count it all joy in trials? Well, listen, when you're focused and your heart is rested on the things of God, you can get through hard times with a smile on your face because you know the bigger picture, because you know that there's a bigger God, because you know there's a call on your life. I went to a conference recently, and the man of God that was talking said this, and I thought it was just so profound. And yes, he was talking to pastors, but I believe that this is for the whole body of Christ. He said, we as Christians, we can live saved. But we'll get to heaven. God will be like, amen, I'm glad you're here. Hallelujah. Or we can live also not just saved, but we can live called. And I don't know about you, but I'm going to live called. Because each and every one of you has a calling on your life. It is not just for the pulpit ministry. There are other things that God needs you to do in your world. Because we can't do that. You come here to get filled up. So we can equip you so you can go out into the highways and the byways and you can preach the gospel. You do it through your lives. You do it through what you say. You do it through how you act. And listen, I'm challenging you. Let's live called because we're a blessed people. Let's live called because God has called us out of darkness. He has raised us up into heaven with him. He is our king and we are his kids. We are no longer just saved, walking around doing our own thing. But no, I'm called because I got a purpose on me. I got a way that God needs me to go. I got a path that he needs me to go down. Every single one of you has a call and a purpose and a plan. You need to tap into God. You need to tap into the Holy Spirit. I know that I have been on my face for months finding out, God, what is it you want from me? Have you ever felt that way? What is it? I don't get it. And you know what? Just press in. Don't stop pressing in. Don't take no or quiet for an answer. Maybe he's working something out in you. He's taking layers and unpeeling them and restoring those things underneath each layer. And you know what? That's a blessing that he can work through us and take our hearts and begin to mold them and shape them into what it is he's asked us to do. Because we are not just anybody. You are not just anyone. Whether you're young or old or whatever, grandma or a mom or a sister or a brand new teenager into this kingdom and into this world. Listen, God knows what he has for you. It doesn't matter where you grew up. It doesn't matter what your address is. It doesn't matter what your bank account says. It does not matter. There's nothing too big for God. None of that matters to him. He says, throw that away. Those aren't blessings. You know what's a blessing? Is that you get to be my kid. That you get to walk in a covenant with me. That you get to walk in health. And that you get to walk in strength. That means when I give you promises that says that you are healed by the stripes on the cross, you need to proclaim your promises because that has already been given to you. So reach out and take it. What are we waiting for? Why are we letting the enemy go and rob us of what is good and holy and just and pure? See, Gomer did not tap into what was hers. She did not see the vision of God. She did not. Israel ran from God. They were doing their own thing. They were running their own course, and God is going, hello, I'm right here. What are you doing? And I feel like God is saying to us as women, hello, what are you doing? America's falling apart and I'm right here. Listen, girls, don't fool yourselves. We are going into some hard times. Our country does not want God. You better want God because we have to keep him alive in this country. And we have to keep him alive in our hearts and in our homes. Count our blessings. Count our blessings. Number four, what we can learn or unlearn from Gomer. Sorry, I got a little preachy. Now I'm hot. All right. Point four, receive his compassion for us. Compassion. That's kind of a hard thing to learn. And then when we don't show it, it's really hard for us to receive from someone else. Because we feel like it's a sign of weakness. Sometimes we think, oh, they're just being compassionate towards me because I was crying. Or, oh, they're just doing that for me because, and then it's like, just receive it. You know, it's like God is going, I'm just showing my compassion on you because I love you. There's a love and a mercy that's flowing from him. You know, he goes through all these chapters, okay? It goes, there's 14 chapters. And most of them, he's really mad, okay? Most of them. And then right at the very end, I just love Israel restored at last. You know, it took him 14 chapters for him to calm down. It was almost like God had to vent it all out, get it all out. And then he was like, all right, I'm good. I got it out. Now I will forgive you. So, you know, that was a little comforting to me because I'm a little like that. I'm a little like, get it out, let my feelings show, and then I'm good, right? I'm not one of those people that bottle things up inside. Well, obviously, he's not either. So, I mean, he was saying it like it is. He was not happy with Israel. And then he gets to verse 14. And actually, I'm going to read. There's a part, actually, in verse 14, chapter 14 that I want you guys to read. But I'm going to go back to Hosea 2, 14 through 23. Because I love the way he says this. It's almost like a song and a melody. Isn't it amazing how God can just be so beautiful at times? You know, you could be this like rough and tumble kind of God. And then he like goes really poetic at times. Okay, so Hosea 2, 14 through 23 on the message. So I'll have him put it up here so if you guys don't have your Bibles with a message. And it says, now, here's what I'm going to do. Now, this is God. I'm going to start all over again. I'm taking her back out of the wilderness. Now he's talking about Israel, where we had our first date. And I will court her. I will give her bouquets of roses. I will turn Heartbreak Valley into acres of hope. She'll respond like she did as a young girl. Those days when she saw fresh out of Egypt, all that time. This is God's message still. You'll address me. This is what he's saying after the restoration comes. She will then address God this way. She will address me, dear husband. Never again will you address me, my slave master. He just changed the tune right there. Instead of us looking at God, yes, yes, slave master, yes, holy God, he's saying, no, we are going to join as one. We are going, you are the bride of Christ. I am the husband. And we are going to join, and you are going to call me husband instead of slave master. Isn't that beautiful? And it says, I will wash your mouth out with soap. Get rid of all those dirty false God names. No, not so much as a whisper of those names again. Don't tell me he's not a man. He's like a man. You know, like, I'll wash your mouth out with soap. Don't even go there. I just love it. It's like in my head, I'm kind of like, ah, that's awesome. Okay, so I will wash those names out. And at the same time, I will make a peace treaty between you and wild animals and birds and reptiles. And get rid of all weapons of warfare. Think of it. What would the world be like? Think of it. Safe from beasts and bullies. And then I will marry you for good and forever. I'll marry you, you true and proper, in love and tenderness. Yes, I will marry you with neither leave you nor let you go. You will know me, God, for who I really am. And on that very same day, I'll answer, this is God's message. I'll answer the sky. The sky will answer the earth. And the earth will give grain and wine and oil. And they will all answer Jezreel. Remember, he said Jezreel was the land he was going to bring bloodshed on. Now he's reconciling Jezreel back. So he's going back to Hosea and Gomer and their three children at this point. And he's saying, I'm reconciling that. I'm giving that land back. Jezreel. Okay? So right there he restored Jezreel, first child. I'll plant her in a good earth and I'll have mercy on no mercy. Remember the second child, the daughter was no mercy. Remember her name meant no mercy. He said, I will have mercy on no mercy. And I will say to nobody, that was the third child, do you remember that? Third child meant nobody. I will say to nobody, you're my dear somebody. And he'll say, you're my God. What a God of restoration. It brings tears to my eyes because it's like this beautiful love story. That who are we that he would call us? And that he would look upon us and say, yeah, you're screwed up. yeah, things have happened to you, and yeah, I know the things in your heart, but I don't care. Because when somebody has told you that you're nobody, I'm saying you're somebody. And when there's been no mercy showed to you in your life, I'm going to show mercy to you now in your life. And when your land has been dry and broken and busted and disgusted, I'm going to bring rain and I'm going to bring harvest and I'm going to bring blessing and I'm going to fill your barrens up with joy. You see, God is waiting for us to be his bride. He wants to marry us. He is a jealous God for us. He wants to know other gods in our life. You say, well, I don't worship other gods. I'm not other religions. That's not what he's even talking about at times. What is it in your world that takes the place of God? What fills your time? You know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth flows. And it's interesting, you can always know what's happening with someone when they open their mouth. I have people in my life that talk about the things they do. Fun, things, all the time. And you're kind of like, okay, but is there any significance in that? Like, where's the God in this? You know, maybe you talk to people and they're really into, you know, eating so healthy that it's become such an obsession for them. Have you ever met people like that? And we have to be careful that things in our world that we end up liking to do, which is not wrong, don't become obsessions and take the place of God. We need to keep a healthy balance in our world because God wants us to seek the goodness and the things in life. But when they take the place of God, then they've become a God above him and they've taken his spot. And he is never asked for us but to do anything but to love him, to accept him, and to be his wife. And listen, he knows what's going on in your world. And maybe you're going, ooh, I've been kind of filling my world with too much and not enough of God. You know, I was talking to somebody yesterday, and they were telling me about how they were changing their life. And I said, well, that's awesome. You know, I'm glad you're changing your life. Are you getting into church more then? And there was like this look, well, no, but I really need to. Well, yeah, like, I feel like God is asking you to change your life, but you need to get into the house of God then. You need to start making new patterns. And this is what I told them. You need to make new patterns in life where your life is rotated around what God is doing and not God sometimes in what you're doing. You see what I'm saying? There's a difference. And so we need to run after God. We need to seek God. When we are close to him, he is then close to us. Israel ran from him, and he was heartbroken. And in your heartbreak, have you ever gotten angry? And God then became angry, but then he got it out, and he became merciful. And he's a loving God, and he redeemed them, and he reconciled them back. And just as God did in Psalms 145, 9, I love this verse. It says, the Lord is good to everyone. He showers compassion on all creation. Hallelujah that God is compassionate with me. Because I know Pastor Jess is not compassionate. It is like something that I have been working on since I was like born. Okay? And I will never forget, we had an incredible minister here. His, Sherman, what was his last name? Smith or? Yeah, Sherm Smith. And he was a pastor here. And I remember right before I was leaving for Rhema, he said, I got a word from you, Pastor Jess. You need to study in the next 2 years on your own compassion. Okay, thanks, Pastor Sherm. So I get on the plane and I start studying compassion. And man, it rocked me. It rocked me. Because there were so many things that I read in the word that I'm like, really? I would have smite them. I would have knocked them out. I would have, you know, like, this is just like my harsh personality. And the Lord is always working on me. And then when I get off being compassionate, he really rocks me again. So listen, if we can learn from God that he wants us to be compassionate because he's compassionate towards us, because he has had grace and mercy on us, and he then wants us to repay that to others. And so today, maybe you're going, okay, I need to kind of work that out in my heart. I need to become this tender, loving person that God has asked me to be and show mercy on those that maybe don't deserve it in my world. 1 Chronicles 16:34, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. What a beautiful way to know the love of God, that his mercy endures forever. Forever, even in our weakness. And so I don't know about you, but the story of Gomer, a woman who was probably broken, didn't understand who she was or what she was created for. God came and rescued her, gave her a man that loved her, brought her home time and time again, brought Israel home time and time again, redeemed Israel, rescued Israel time and time again. How many of us that I'm going, that's my story. That is me. God, that is so me. And you know what? For us to just stop and say, I'm going to receive from you, God. I'm going to choose God, and I'm not going to go back to the old ways. That's number one. Number two, accept God's redeeming love. Just accept it. You don't know how, maybe you go, I don't know what to do with it. Just choose to accept it, and then he will go the next step for you. And count our blessings. Receive his compassion for us. If you got something from God today, let's go ahead and give him a hand. Do you have the books? The books?